What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, so far, the first round of the NBA playoff matchups, they are blowouts for the most part. There's really only one matchup so far that is close. Other than that, so far, they're pretty much runaways. So let's get right into that, beginning with the matchup between the Orlando Magic and the Boston Celtics. You know, earlier in the weekend, it kind of looked like Orlando might make this a decent series. You know, they played a pretty decent game against them on Friday night. They got the win 95-93. Wagner had 32 points. Banchero had 29 points. And it looked like maybe they would make this a series. Now, me personally, I didn't think that was the case. As a matter of fact, I kind of felt like, okay, there was their one win in the series. And then yesterday that pretty much proved to be true. The Celtics got back into order. They pretty much dominated game four from start to finish. They got the win 107-98. Jason Tatum went off for 37 points and 14 rebounds, so he had a solid game. And game five takes place Tuesday night. Right now, Boston has a 3-1 lead on Orlando. So Tuesday night, the Boston Celtics could close it out and head on to the next round of the NBA playoffs. Or Orlando could extend it, but I'm not counting on that. Then let's move on to the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Indiana Pacers series. And on Friday night, Milwaukee kind of made it seem like, oh my God, they might make this a series too, because Indiana has dominated every single game in this matchup, except for Friday night's matchup. Milwaukee actually played a real solid game. They got the win 117-101. Giannis had another monster game. He went off for 37 points and 12 rebounds. Gary Trent Jr., he also had a huge game, 37 points. But then they crashed back down to earth yesterday, and Indiana dominated game four, 129-103, and it wasn't even close. And this was excellent team basketball from the Indiana Pacers. I mean, pretty much everybody got a hold of the ball and was scoring points. Turner had 23 points. Nembhard had 20 points. Halliburton had 17 points. It was pretty much everybody was in double figures when they were scoring. So the Indiana Pacers are just really playing excellent team basketball and just smothering the Milwaukee Bucks. And then in an unfortunate turn of events as well, Dame Lillard, he looks like he tore his Achilles, I almost said ACL, but he tore his Achilles, which is much worse than your ACL. Both suck, but definitely the Achilles is a real long process, as is the ACL, but it's they're usually if you tear your ACL, you're like, oh yeah, that guy can come back. You tear your Achilles, you're like, whoa, is he coming back next year? I don't know. We'll see. And he just tore it at the end of the season. We're in the playoffs, so that means it's definitely going to bleed over into next season, regardless of how the recovery process goes for him. But it just sucked to see it happen. I mean, at first it looked kind of weird. It looked like it might have been just like a sprained ankle, but he could not put any weight on it when he was getting off the court, and I was like, oof, that don't look good. And then it was confirmed today that he has torn his Achilles and will not only be out the rest of this this playoffs, but could most definitely be out at some leading into next season as well. But game five of this series is Tuesday night. Indiana has a 3-1 lead, so they could close this series out on Tuesday, which I would not be surprised if they do, because so far Indiana has dominated that one. Then moving on to the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Los Angeles Lakers series. This has been just an awful series for the Lakers. They have let two games get away from them. But on Friday, game three, they got completely demolished by Minnesota, 116-104. Anthony Edwards went off for 29 points. McDaniels had 30 points. Julius Randle had 22 points, and he was balling hard. I mean, he was making some crazy shots, playing some fantastic defense as well. So just everybody showed up basically for Minnesota on that night, and not so much for the Lakers. I mean, LeBron actually had a fantastic game, but Luka was sick in that game, so he was not playing well, and nobody else stepped up in that moment. So the Lakers got smashed in that one. And then yesterday during game four, the Lakers completely choked that one away. They pretty much dominated the entire game, and then the freaking fourth quarter happens, and it starts getting away from them, and starts getting away from them, and then the Timberwolves catch up, and then all of a sudden it's a back-and-forth affair. And then LeBron just, he was such a conundrum because he was making so many big plays down the stretch, but then he made so many bad plays down the stretch. He threw up this three-point shot that was so completely unnecessary. The Lakers were up by like 1 point at this point in time. There was like 30-something seconds left on the clock. They were just trying to run out clock, and then he just tosses up this stupid three-pointer for no reason, misses it, and then the Timberwolves run it back down the court, and then they score and take the lead. And it was just, it was such a stupid move by the Lakers towards the end there, and it was pretty much all because LeBron choked at the end there himself. He made so many bonehead moves towards the end, and it was just pissing me off. But like I said, he was making some big plays. I mean, he had this great couple of big defensive plays himself and had 27 points, but it was just, there was a couple of plays down the stretch where I'm like, dude, you just straight up cost us that game. Luka had 38 points, so it was a great game from him, but Anthony Edwards was the one who outdueled both of them. He had 43 points, and like I said, the Lakers gave that one away. Game 5 is Wednesday night, and Minnesota has the 3-1 lead right now, so the Lakers are in desperation mode. They absolutely have to win, and if they don't, they are staying home because it is in LA, so that's where they'll be, but they just gave away that one when they should have had it, but so far, they just... they've just been doing what they do, man. My biggest problem with the Lakers all season long has been they don't let plays develop, and then they just toss up the three-point desperation shot. And it wasn't just LeBron. You know, LeBron did it yesterday, but there's been so many times throughout the playoffs, throughout the end of the season, really throughout the entire season, where I'm like, why did you need to toss that three up? You could have just set the play up, but maybe got something else. But no, that's what they do. So, we'll see what happens on Wednesday night. Then moving on to the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Miami Heat series. And Cleveland is just dominating this one in every single way, shape, and form, offensively, defensively, with their starters, with their bench. It doesn't matter if dudes are injured. Doesn't matter. And they smashed Miami 124-87. Allen had a huge game, 22 points, 10 rebounds. And in this game, actually didn't have any Darius Garland either. He has a toe injury that he's nursing, and they didn't need him. No problem. You might as well let him rest until the next round, because Cleveland's obviously moving on to the next round. Game 4 is tonight, Monday night. Cleveland's up 3-0, so they could easily sweep this one away from Miami on Monday. Then moving on to the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Memphis Grizzlies series, and this one ended up being a clean sweep. The Oklahoma City Thunder just dominated this one. It was a close game for game 4, but Oklahoma City got the win, 117-115. They actually just dominated the series. It really wasn't ever close, obviously, since it was a sweep. But in this in game 4, SGA had 38 points, and it was just straight up domination. I mean, they just owned the paint. They killed them defensively, they owned it offensively, and even though the game was close, they were able to just make the big plays in the end. And Oklahoma City just sits and waits for their next opponent in round 2. Then moving on to the only good series so far in the first round of the NBA playoffs, the Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Clippers. On Saturday, they had a fun game. Denver just got the win, 101-99. They pretty much had the lead the whole way, but then towards the end of the game, Kawhi Leonard just started to step up and really make some big plays. But the big play was actually by Aaron Gordon of the Denver Nuggets. He had the game-winning dunk, and it was so close that they just had to stare at the replay, but you could just tell it barely left his fingertips right as a red light went off. So they counted it, and it was just a crazy play, but the series is tied at 2. Jokic had a huge game, 36 points, 21 rebounds, 8 assists, so he just missed the triple-double, but just a huge game all around from the entire Denver Nuggets team. But it was crazy to watch the fourth quarter in this one, because it was Kawhi, Jokic, Kawhi, Jokic. They were just going back and forth, making some huge plays. Jokic did this great play where he just was spin, just... it was just one of the craziest moves just to see him do, and then he just makes the shot, and Oh, it was real fun to watch him and Kawhi just go back and forth with each other and then have it end. Because what happened was Jokic took the last shot, but he ends up missing the shot. And Aaron Gordon's right there to get the rebound, and he just hits it right in time and gets the game-winning dunk. Would have gone into overtime had he not made it. So they got the win. Game five is Tuesday. And like I said, this series is tied up at two games apiece. So at least we have us some good basketball in the first round, because so far it's all been a wash for the most part. Then in the Golden State Warriors versus the Houston Rockets series, Golden State has pretty much dominated this one. And Jimmy Butler missed game three, and it didn't matter at all. The Warriors still got the win, 104-93. Steph Curry is that dude, as usual. 36 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, had a huge game. Didn't matter that Jimmy Butler wasn't there. He stepped it up and played basically the entire game. And absolutely shouldered the load the entire way, but that's what you got to do down the stretch in the NBA playoffs. And Houston, this is what I felt like was going to happen with them. They're a good team, but they're just not that good. This is going to be a learning experience for them for sure. Hopefully they take from it and grow into next season. I mean, obviously the series isn't over in this one, because Golden State's only up 2-1, so they could tie this up easily. But it's just obvious that Golden State is the better, more prepared team in all the tight situations in this matchup. And game four is Monday night. And like I said, Golden State's up 2-1 in the series right now. And then the last series we have in the NBA first round playoffs is the New York Knicks versus the Detroit Pistons. And gotta say, I don't usually blame the refs, but man, the refs really fucked this one up yesterday towards the end of the game. They should have called a foul on the last shot of the game to at least give them a shot. But unfortunately, they did not call the foul. And New York did walk away with the win. They did deserve it. I mean, New York's really been taking it to Detroit in this one. Detroit's played well. They've been there. But then it's kind of like what I'm talking about with the Houston Rockets versus the Golden State Warriors, is that they're just not able to take advantage of the critical moments. And that's what's going on in this series, is that New York is able to take care of the critical moments, whereas Detroit is just falling apart in all the critical moments. And even when they get a big lead, that lead tends to dwindle away, and then it comes down to the last shot of the game. So the Knicks did get the win, 94-93. Karl Anthony Towns had arguably probably his best game of his entire career in this one. He dropped 27 points, but it wasn't just the points. He was just making really big plays, making big rebounds when he needed to make them. He just was always there and making the big plays down the stretch. And then Brunson, there's nothing to say about this guy. He's having a fantastic series, 32 points, 11 assists, had a fantastic game. But it was shitty just to have it end the way it did, just because Detroit's really been in it. But unfortunately, Detroit is now down 3-1 in this series. Game five is Tuesday night. And so New York can close this one on Tuesday, and hopefully they don't, because I thought this was going to be a better series, and you never know. But just kind of the way it's been going, you could just tell that even though when Detroit gets a lead, they just tend to dwindle it, and then it just comes down to these last key plays, and New York is just making the big plays when they need to. All right, so moving on to my top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Couple surprises. We are having some teams fall off. We've had a couple of teams bump up a little bit. And gotta say, I can't believe my San Francisco Giants are still in this shit, man. Like, I kind of thought they were going to fall off, and they could still fall off. Don't know if this is really just, like, fake or whatever. But I'm enjoying it while it lasts, because they're having a great season so far, too. But they're still here in the power rankings. So let's get right into it. We have us a new number one as well, because they are the hottest team in baseball and playing the best baseball in the league, and that is the New York Mets. They are 19-9 on the season. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Philadelphia Phillies, and they were finishing up their series against the Washington Nationals today. I don't know if they got the win or not, because I wrote all this down earlier before the game, but they were either going to split the series if they got the win, or if they lost, then that means they lost the series, because it was a four-game series. But regardless of whether or not they lose or win it, they still have been the hottest team in the league, and it really is due to their starting pitching. I mean, nobody can score on this team. Senga is is pitching out of his mind. McGill, Holmes, Canning, all four of those guys right now have 3 wins on the season. So that's huge for your entire starting pitching staff right there. I mean, all of them are winning. And it's just crazy because Juan Soto, still cold. He really hasn't busted out. I expected it to kind of take a while for him to really get going, but not really this long. I mean, wouldn't be shocked if he eventually does turn it on. I don't think this is going to last forever. But that being said, it's very, very shocking that the New York Mets are playing excellent baseball, and he is probably having the worst season of his career so far. Then at number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Detroit Tigers. Overall record of 18-10. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Diego Padres and the Baltimore Orioles. And this team is just stacked to the building. Their starting pitching is amazing with Mize and Skubal and Flaherty. They are just pitching out of their minds. Torkelson having a great season. Zach McKinstry has come out of nowhere and is having a great season. This team is having no issue scoring runs. And also in the, I believe it was the Padres series, where the Padres could not score a run on them in 2 of the 3 games. So they are really just holding it down with the pitching, but also scoring runs like no other. Then moving on to number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, and I can't believe I put them here, but I had to because they're actually playing great baseball, and that is my San Francisco Giants. Overall record of 19-10, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Milwaukee Brewers and the Texas Rangers. Ramos had this crazy walk-off win yesterday. Flores has already had a couple of walk-off wins himself. Yastrzemski has had a couple of walk-off wins. Lee, it's been a really shocking season for the Giants because they've had so many walk-off wins and they've actually been going their way. I mean, they have had a couple not go their way, but they are actually playing really solid baseball. I don't really know how long it's going to last, but until it does, I'm going to keep on enjoying it. And I can't believe I had him at number 3 when I was looking over all the stats from the weekend and the past week and where everybody lines up right now in the standings. And I'm like, shit, wow, the Giants, they are playing excellent baseball and they are in first place in their division. So, hey, doing better than the Dodgers and going to enjoy that while that lasts too. So, haha, fuck you, Dodgers. And speaking of the Dodgers, they are at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings. They are 18-10 on the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Chicago Cubs, but won the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Shohei Ohtani, you don't say this a lot. He is cold right now. He is on a cold streak. He cannot get anything going. He and Juan Soto are both ice fucking cold right now. Don't expect it to last long with Ohtani himself, but it's just kind of weird to see that he's actually slumping and that it seems like, wow, he's actually human and that he slumps. But I mean, even so, this Dodgers team is stacked to the building with talent, and until they fall off, I can't rank them really low because they are still a damn good team, but it is funny to see them struggle just for a bit here. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 17-11. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Cleveland Guardians, but won the series over the Toronto Blue Jays. And Aaron Judge, man, this dude is an MVP already. I mean, he's coming off of an MVP season. He has hit 62 home runs in a season. He is just the home run king, basically. And you look at it and you go, how can this guy improve? And he has improved. As a matter of fact, I'm comparing this season of Aaron Judge's stellar career to kind of like what LeBron did. Years ago, LeBron James was terrible at the three-point line. He just could not really knock down a three-pointer to save his fucking life. So he spent the entire offseason working on his three-point game, and now LeBron's pretty goddamn good at the three-point shot. He ain't Steph Curry, but he's still goddamn good. And that's what I think Aaron Judge did in the offseason, is I think he worked on his hitting and just getting on base rather than hitting home runs, because he doesn't have an issue hitting home runs. It's just been strikeouts have been huge for him over the years. And this season, he's batting a 406. A 406. The dude is batting a 406, okay? This is the reigning MVP. And he's batting a 406. And he's getting on base because, you know, I watch a lot of Yankee games. And, you know, he's hitting doubles, he's hitting triples, and he's getting on base. rather than just hitting the home runs, because home runs are great, but getting on base, it helps you get more runs rather than just the one home run. So he's just having, I think he's better than he's been over the last couple of seasons, which says a lot, because I think he's actually improved his game and added to what he can already do. And now you don't just worry about the home run with him. You're going to have to worry about, is he getting on base, period? Not just walking. He's actually getting on base with doubles and triples and then scoring runs once he gets on base. So he's having a fantastic year. And I mean, batting .406 when we're already a month into the season, whoa, that says a lot. He has 8 home runs as well and 27 RBI. Shockingly, he's not leading the league in those two categories, but I'm sure that'll change at some point. But the .406 obviously is leading the league. As a matter of fact, I think behind him is Paul Goldschmidt, his teammate. And I think Goldschmidt, if I remember correctly, this is just off the top of my head, I believe he's got a .376 as his batting average. So that just goes to show you .376, .406. That's the disparity between the top two guys right now. That's what Aaron Judge is doing right now. And then Max Fried as well. He has paid off for the Yankees already. He is having probably the best year of his career so far. He has 5 wins and hasn't lost in, I believe, 4 games. He's on a 4 or 5 game winning streak right now with a 1.43 ERA and 33 strikeouts. He is just having a fantastic year to start. Both he and Judge are just carrying this team right now. Although there's a lot of offense coming from a lot of guys outside of Judge, but it's just crazy to see what Aaron Judge is doing by batting a .406 right now. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Chicago Cubs, overall record of 17-12. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Los Angeles Dodgers and lost the series to the Philadelphia Phillies. But this is a team that still has zero issues scoring runs. They still lead the league in the most runs with 172 runs on the season. And it's just, they're getting it offense from everybody all up and down this roster. But of course, Kyle Tucker, that's who they traded for in the offseason. And so far, that trade is paying off. He's batting a .289 with 7 home runs and 25 RBI. That leads in all categories on this team. So he is obviously paying off, but it's not just him, man. They've got Carson Kelly, who's come out of nowhere, just playing fantastic baseball. And their starting pitching is just doing great. It's just the Chicago Cubs team ain't nothing to fuck with. And so far, that's what they're proving. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, falling quite a bit this week, is the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 17-11, and it's because they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They have not had a good week here. They lost the series to the Detroit Tigers. Like I said, they did not even score a run in 2 out of the 3 games, and then they lost the series to the Tampa Bay Rays. But I will say, Fernando Tatis Jr. having a fantastic year, batting at .346, 8 home runs and 18 RBI, so they definitely need that from him. But they are in a slump right now. We'll see how long it lasts. I do think this is a very solid, talented team, especially with the starting pitching that they have. But who knows? Maybe that Padres winning streak is over and done with, and maybe they're headed back to where they normally are, in the cellar. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Seattle Mariners, overall record of 16-12. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games, and we have not talked about them yet, but they are actually playing some excellent baseball right now. This week, they took the series over both the Boston Red Sox and the Miami Marlins, and Cal Raleigh is actually the guy leading in the league in home runs right now with 10 home runs, 17 RBI, and batting a .229, and this guy cannot be stopped. It feels like every time you pitch to this dude, he just smashes it out of the park. Also, their closer, he has not even had anybody get a hit on him so far. He actually has 10 saves on the season, but he's got a 0 ERA right now. So the Seattle Mariners team, they're getting it done with the starting pitching, really lights out, but they're getting a lot of offensive production from different guys too, because Julio Rodriguez is actually having a pretty bad year. He's only batting like a .194, I think. So he hasn't really had his moments yet either. He kind of tends to get started slow, it feels like, especially last year he started slow. So I kind of feel like maybe that's his thing. But they're getting a lot of offense from other parts of this roster, and Cal Raleigh is leading the charge right now for the Mariners. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 15-13. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the New York Mets, but took the series over the Chicago Cubs. And their starting pitchers are really starting to get it going. You know, the Phillies haven't the problem with the Phillies so far to me is they haven't played consistent baseball. I think they're still just kind of trying to still find their way. I mean, they've got a fantastic roster. They got a shit ton of great players. They have no issue scoring. And their pitchers are great, but their starting pitchers have kind of had their shaky moments. But this week, they did not. Nola and Wheeler seem to be back on track. They both have had really solid outings lately, and I just look for the Phillies to probably start getting it put together here over the next couple of weeks and look like one of the top teams in the league. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks. Overall record of 15-13. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Tampa Bay Rays and lost a series to the Atlanta Braves. But the notable thing that happened this week is Eugenio Suarez. I mean, he's had a fantastic year just to start. I mean, he's been really solid for this Arizona Diamondbacks team. But what he did over the weekend is he hit 4 home runs in one game. Yeah, that's right. 4 home runs in one game, not 4 home runs over the weekend. 4 home runs in one game. That is actually only the 19th. He's the 19th player of all time to ever do that in MLB history. So huge accomplishment just in Major League Baseball, period. But especially for him, because, I mean, you don't really expect it from him. I mean, you would expect that from Aaron Judge. But, Eugenio Suarez, no, I would not expect 4 home runs from him. As a matter of fact, those 4 home runs have him also tied for the league lead in home runs with Cal Raleigh with 10 home runs. So congratulations to him. And, I mean, he's been having a fantastic year so far. Just generally, he's made some big plays for this Diamondbacks team. And that 4 home run game was huge for them as well. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.